Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. The Beat with you till 6 o'clock. Three jam-packed hours of sports entertainment. Chris Bryant, already with two home runs on the day. Cubs lead the Brewers 6-1, one to right field, and a line drive to left field. We'll get some Cubs talk going on about how the Cubs cheated baseball yesterday. Called out by the Milwaukee Brewers. Good afternoon, Jared Payton. Good afternoon, Harry Tino. It's great to be with you, too.
Great to be with you as well, Carm.
It is so fantastic to spend a few hours on a Sunday on the beat hanging out with you boys.
You're normally not here, Harry. This is like a weird moment for us. We're getting more settled in. We're seeing you on more Sundays.
Yeah, there's obviously been a couple typos.
What do you mean?
I mean, someone is going to have to pay for this horrible mistake.
No, we love you being here, man.
I already did call up Todd Manley and Stephanie, and we're going to have a discussion on Monday. But
you should.
No, Adam was working yesterday, so we kind of had a little flip-flop situation, and we're ready to go. We're going to have a lot of Cubs talk today. We're going to discuss what is the NBA versus NHL playoffs, yet another blowout last night. That'll be coming up in about 20 minutes. There's a new Bachelorette, which is breaking new ground, which is something we don't normally talk about, so it's new ground for us, too. Jared Payton, you're giving me a look.
You don't talk about it, but I do.
You're a Bachelorette guy?
No.
Because he's
really
got a wife. Carm, when wives talk, you got to listen. And wives talk about The Bachelorette, which is like one of the most impractical shows in the history of shows.
It really is.
I had a breakup back in the day that's focused around The Bachelor.
What?
This is a true story. I think I've told this once before, but we were huge Bachelor fans, and it was Bachelor night. This is about probably 10 years ago, maybe more.
Okay.
Right when The Bachelor started.
Uh-huh.
And so we start having the conversation about whether or not we want to stay together right before the show started.
Yeah, did you give her a little Al Green? Let's stay together.
I think I was kind of fighting for the stay together at that point. But then the show started, so we had to stop the conversation. We watched the first segment of The Bachelor. We get to 8:15, back into the conversation. Bachelor comes back on, stop the conversation.
Whoa.
8:30 break, back into the conversation. We literally
did... It's not Breaking Bad.
We did a four-part breakup around the one-hour show, and right when it ended at, I think it was 8 to 9, is that, am I right on the timing, or 7 to 8, whatever it was, I said, all right, I guess it's over, and I walked out the door right at 9, so I could get home by...
She didn't give you a rose?
I did not get a rose. I was kicked off of Bachelor Island, I guess, in my own Bachelor form. So I used to love The Bachelor, but then I went you go through something like that.
You can't watch it anymore.
You got to take it. You need a little break.
Yeah.
I'm back ready to go this year, though.
It is such a successful show. It is one of those successful shows that I just shake my head at. And like, about a week ago, we heard that the most recent, one of the most recent bachelorette marriages was called off. You know, they decided they didn't want to get married after all. Oh, that's a shocker. You know, because they spent, a few months together on TV. I thought that they'd be together for 40 years.
Yeah, but a bunch of them have lasted. There's like four of them that are still together. That's incredible, right?
Insane.
We need a Bachelor expert on the program right now, 312-981-7200. I don't have the time to do this research. Dan Long's been doing Cubs stuff all day, White Sox stuff all day. I mean, how many Bachelor and Bachelorettes have actually stayed together?
I don't know. That's what we need to find out. It's got to be on the internet.
Oh, yeah. That's easy. We have a stat guy.
Do we have a stat guy for
that? Yeah.
Okay.
If we can do Javi Baez's splits against specific pitchers, we can tell you how many bachelor or bachelorette couples have stayed together.
I think we can pull that off. Let's start the show here. We talked about this yesterday, but having JP on the show, I think it's a different animal as far as your NFL knowledge. We were talking some Colin Kaepernick yesterday.
Ooh, okay.
Always a hot button topic, right?
Always.
And this week, Ryan Fitzpatrick gets signed by the Tampa Bay Bucks. That looks like a spot that Kaepernick could have fit into. Blaine Gabbert goes to the Cardinals, yet another spot that Kaepernick could have fit into. Kaepernick with decidedly better numbers than both those quarterbacks. And we talked to, or I talked to rather, Drew Brees earlier in the week. And I asked him, is he being blackballed? Point blank.
What a nice choice of words, huh?
Well, that's the word, is it not?
Can we come up with another word?
Is there, we can maybe come up with another word. I think that's, we can come up with
banish?
Is he being banished? Sure.
Okay.
Is he being?
Is he getting a fair shake? Is he getting screwed?
There you go. All that.
First of all, I want to commend you on your interview going on to the Bleacher Report.
Thank you.
That's where I saw it.
Appreciate that.
So I just wanted that. That's big time news. Anytime that you hit the Bleacher Report, yeah, and hits your app. This is a touchy subject, man. It's always been from the beginning, and I'll never forget being on the show with Hogue and Carm when the first.
We've been down this up for a while.
We've been down this road for a while. And I remember taking a stance from the beginning because I didn't really truly understand everything that was going on and looking at him from a certain standpoint. And then I really started to look at the athlete and knowing what he's done in his career. I mean, how many guys have led their teams to an NFC championship game and to a Super Bowl that they almost won? There's not that many quarterbacks that we look at now. I mean, yeah, there's your Drew Breeses, your Tom Brady's, but this is a guy that's had success. You can't tell me that he couldn't fit in anywhere. Tampa Bay, to me, sounds like a perfect fit for what he would be trying to do with the athletes.
And maybe he can land in Seattle. That seems like a good spot for him, too. But here, this is the question I want to ask. 312-981-7200. I mean, what does this mean? Whether he is being given negative treatment or not, I think right now he's not on a roster. So let's just, I mean, what does it actually mean? Because to me, what it means is that people don't want to hear negative stuff. They don't want controversy. They want you just to fit in a square box. And if you're going to make millions of dollars playing in the NFL, I don't care what your thoughts are about what's going on in the world. Keep your mouth shut and then you can have a job. But if you don't keep your mouth shut and you actually voice your own opinion and it's not in line with the perfect what the NFL wants, well then, if you're not an elite talent, which Colin is not, he's a borderline starting quarterback, solid backup, that's what he is, then we're going to find a way to, or we're not going to find a way to have you on a roster. We don't want to know what you think. And I would like to think that as a society, we could have some honest discussion, honest disagreements, agreements, maybe we move the conversation in a forward way. But clearly, if I'm another player and I'm watching what's going on with Kaepernick, whatever media guy comes up to me, or if even, forget the media, if I'm just thinking about making a statement, I'm thinking real long and hard about it.
You should.
Because, right. But listen, outside of wearing the socks that had policemen as pigs on it, which was an extremely stupid decision by him, outside of that, he's raised millions of dollars. He's brought awareness. There's a ton of people that joined him. Yet, here he is without a gig.
I mean, he talked about that from the beginning, that he was going to donate that $1 million of his contract, and he's done a pretty good job so far at fulfilling. I don't know if it's over 200-some thousand, but we've seen him do Meals on Wheels. We've seen him also donate to other different charities and foundations, plus giving suits and stuff. I mean, he's done a lot where, in a league where I think most time we always look at players and maybe turn a blind eye if they can keep playing or if they are playing at a high level or they can help you win, that you go, listen, it doesn't matter what's going on. And we've seen it with Ray McDonald here in Chicago, where things you question why NFL teams are bringing somebody in. But on this situation, it's totally different because he stood up for what he believed in.
I've always been in favor, Harry, of athletes who speak out. Muhammad Ali was the number one.
He is number one. He was generations before his time.
But he got killed for it back then.
Oh, he got killed for it. He didn't want to go to the war. He changed his name. People didn't understand that. People didn't understand when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar changed his name from Lew Alcindor.
And I'm not saying that Colin Kaepernick, by the way, is on that level.
No.
Listen, he's doing something that's on his heart, and it's for the greater good.
Here's what I like about Colin Kaepernick. Okay, when he was playing 25 years ago, Charles Barkley said athletes aren't role models. That's kind of a fool. I mean, if you want to say your parents should be the most important role model for you, say that. But don't say athletes aren't role models, because kids look up to athletes.
And,
you know, we all do. As adults, you still look up to athletes. And, you know, Chris Bryant, you know, what a cool dude. What is, you know, how does he think, you know, about this subject? Kaepernick was intelligent enough to know that as the starting quarterback of an NFL team, he had a spotlight shining on him. And he could start the conversation. That's all he wanted to do was start the conversation. Where he got in trouble was this is a country that is so appreciative of their military. And a lot of people said him taking a knee during the national anthem isn't starting a conversation for what he wants to start, but it is a slap in the face to the people that have served this country in the military.
Well, and there were a lot of veterans, though, that started the hashtag veterans for Kaepernick, people that have served the country that were backing what he was saying because they didn't feel like they were treated fairly in the military. There's just a lot of discussion around it. I mean, my question is 312-981-7200. Would you rather just not hear from athletes? And would you rather media didn't ask him questions?
It's too hard now. It's too hard.
Well, you think it's too hard for them to speak out?
No, it's too hard for athletes and people that have big time followings not to say how they feel. And they can do it now just on social media. They don't have to be in front of cameras anymore. You can send out a tweet and next thing you know, everybody knows exactly if you have a million or so followers. And so it's just a different day and age. But I think Colin Kaepernick knew what he was getting himself into when he started all this, knowing that, listen, I'm a borderline guy who's not a true, like you said, Carm, NFL starter, still kind of in that project, could be a backup. Either this is going to, you know, I'm going to be praised for this, or I'm just going to be kind of maybe thrown out. And I think people around the league or around him, his agent, told him what the consequences could be. And he still did it.
And I applaud the guy.
I applaud the guy. And I definitely think, you know, it's kind of obvious that it's costing him an NFL job right now. Quarterback is a position where there are injuries. There will be quarterbacks hurt between now and the start of the season. There'll be quarterbacks hurt before they even get to the preseason. So there's going to be a team that has a greater need. But the names you mentioned, I mean, Kaepernick should be on an NFL roster. I think he's a better sign for the Bears than Mark Sanchez was.
Agreed. I mean, I'd rather have Kaep than Mark Sanchez.
I would rather have him than Sanchez.
Yeah, Kaepernick can rush the football also. Yeah.
847 texting and fine speak out. Ali didn't do it in the ring. People are saying that, listen, he chose to voice his feelings during work hours. He's got all week and all summer. 2690 brings baggage. NFL teams have the right to avoid him or fire him. Like the Duck Dynasty idiot. I don't know who that is, the Duck Dynasty idiot.
That guy is an idiot. that guy's name. But I mean, Ali didn't do it in the middle of a fight with Sonny Liston or in the middle of a fight with Joe Frazier, but he did it during the press conference that was about that fight. He took full advantage of the spotlight shining on him.
Wouldn't that still be considered work hours?
Yes, of course it would. Yes,
still work. I'm just saying it's still work hours.
You can't do it in non-work hours and create the attention that he created.
That's it. And you just can't do it.
So.
It's not the way that I would probably do it, but I can understand that it did start to open up more of a dialogue and a discussion.
And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with not doing it. If you don't want to be a quote-unquote martyr and you just want to live your life in peace, okay, I get it. Michael Jordan went down that path and never really spoke out until he had some ridiculous speak out this past summer when he said he could no longer stand it. And what he,
that's it.
I was like, yeah, like it's been boiling you all this long. I mean, come on, man. That's okay, MJ. But I always gave more credit to athletes who went out there and took a stand. And yet people are just killing them for it. All right. Hey, make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. 312-981-7200. You want to join the conversation, text line, phone line. And we had another big event last night that ended up the same exact way. We'll explain that coming back. 720 WGN.
There you go.
I like it. 720 WGN. Cubs are in the bottom of the sixth. They lead the Brewers 6-1.
I love Dan Long.
What do you love about Dan Long the most?
Because his music selections. You don't understand. Today is Notorious B.I.G.'s birthday.
I don't understand that.
Yes, see, Dan Long just throws that on there. Appreciate it, D-Long.
I was sleeping on that.
I was just about to tweet it out, too. He must have seen me looking over here at the Biggie.
I had my favorite Dan Long moment of the week when he was weighing in on Facebook about how he's just the... You said something about the white man at the bar failing along those lines. I saw you, Dan Long.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
I can explain that later.
That's not an on-air explanational? You were struggling with the ladies and you blamed it on the color of your skin? I blamed it on everything under the sun.
No, I just referred
cool.
to myself a couple of months ago before Brock Lesnar got popped for PEDs with his UFC fight.
Yeah.
He was like, there were the accusations out there, and he said, no, I'm just a jacked white boy. Deal with it.
Okay.
So, you know, you throw a couple of drinks back, and you're like, oh, I'm just a pathetic white boy. Deal with it.
You were feeling your Brock Lesnar. I get it.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I feel you.
I'm mad at you.
312-981-7200. Phil wanted to talk Colin Kaepernick, which is where we started the show. Blaine Gabbert's got a gig. Ryan Fitzpatrick's got a gig. Next thing I know, I mean, Harry, you're going to get a backup gig in the NFL before Cap.
Yes. By the way, I'm a Lorenzo white boy.
Oh, there you go. 55, Lorenzo?
44.
44, my bad. I knew it was a double-double. All right. Hey, Phil, what's up, man? Welcome to WGN.
Hey, guys. I just had a comment on, you know, what you guys are talking about with Colin Kaepernick. And, Jared, with what you just said, you know, yeah, he started, you know, a conversation about something that really needs to be talked about in this country with just mistreatment of people in general and everything else. But the biggest thing is, I think, why he's not getting a job. This is more people are talking about the way he went about it than the conversation he was trying to start.
How do you want him to go about it, though, Phil?
I agree that with Ali doing it in a press conference, that's different than being suited up on the field ready to play. And he might have actually gotten more traction than doing what he's done on the field as he's getting ready to play. And everybody is talking about that action alone. They're not continuing the conversation into what he's trying to say. It's all about how he did it.
Phil, let me ask you a question. If Colin Kaepernick calls a press conference and he wants to talk about what's going on with police brutality in the inner city, you going to pay attention to that press conference?
I would pay attention to it in a much different way than I am, you know, looking at him now.
You might, but
Phil, I think everybody else, I think the way he did it, like I said, I don't know, that's not the way that I would do it to start a conversation, but it did start conversation. There was more conversation that I had after that, of that bringing that up and having a conversation with people who I would never probably sit and talk with for 10 minutes.
It was impossible to watch the Sunday night sports and sometimes the Sunday night news without seeing Kaepernick taking a knee. You know, they would show the package. The Giants and the Eagles got together. Oh, the Steelers played the Ravens. Hey, the 49ers took on the Seahawks, and look what happened before the game started. So, I mean, right there, it's there. It was there every Sunday, every time he played.
Right. I mean, Pro Football Talk, which is a great job, Mike Florio and all, every Monday morning, there was a whole list out. Here's who sat, here's who did X, Y, Z, here's who locked arms, all of it. I mean, it was a thing every single week. Look who joined, look who didn't. He sat last week, he didn't sit this week. And I think he's looking for a job right now. I get that, which is why he's perhaps not kneeling. But I also think, like, the message has gotten out there to level, like, look, he can't do any more. There's no more gain for him to continue to take a knee. He's gotten it out there. Now he's got to go in a different direction if he wants to continue it. And if he doesn't, by the way, that's okay too.
If he doesn't and it doesn't happen, he doesn't get a job, like I said, he knew what he was getting himself into.
There'll be plenty. I mean, right now it's got to be tough for a team to sign Gabbert. You know, instead of Colin Kaepernick. But to tell you, there's going to be more teams that need a quarterback. He's going to get signed.
One more real quick here. Let's get Justin in here. Go ahead, Justin. You're on 720 WGN.
Hi, thanks. I just want to say that I think the Ali comparison is poor because boxers are independent. When Ali goes out and talks, he's representing himself. When you're in the NFL, you're representing your team in the NFL. That's completely different. I don't care if he does it in the ring or at the press conference, it's the fact that you're representing yourself versus the team.
I like that point, Justin. Thanks for calling.
Solid.
You're right. There absolutely is a difference there. Now, he's also – the difference being that there – I mean, he did tell the 49ers what he was going to do and did get support, but I agree with there being a difference there.
There is. No, there is. It's a difference, but we're still talking about trying to get the word out. So you're going to do it in the biggest moment when, and that's when he's got his jersey on. So, yeah, I get where it's a good point.
And Cap's not a boxer. He's a football player. So this was his own world, and that's what he was living in. And, you know, he could where he could get attention in his world was on the field on Sundays taking a knee.
It's the biggest time.
All right, quick timeout? Or, yeah, okay. We have a 2-minute timeout and then news, 720 WGN. WGN. Hope you're having a great Sunday, 338. He's Harry Tynowitz. He's Jared Payton. I'm Mark Carmen with you till 6. Cubs are rolling over the Brewers, 6-1. Not really loving what I'm seeing with Kyle Schwarber at the plate. Just want to put that out there. He swung it. The mighty Schwarber took a mighty swing today, and it was a mighty whiff. And then he reached right for his left knee and was like adjusting the old brace that he's got underneath there. Right,
he's fine.
See, no one's talking about that. I don't know if he's fine. He probably is fine.
Ball players have been reaching and adjusting for decades.
Yeah, that is true. That is a true story. So we had another blowout in the NBA last night. You guys watch any San Antonio and Golden State, or are you just completely tuned out?
No, it was actually close for a while.
First half was close.
I was like shocked.
I'm upset. I want Kawhi Leonard. I just need – I feel like this is – it's tough when you have super teams that are put together. I feel bad for San Antonio.
So that I think that's an interesting little point you just brought up there. Kawhi Leonard's got a sprained ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Popovich is. This is a thing with San Antonio. We are always going to keep the long term health of our player at the forefront more than anything else. So here they are in the Western Conference Finals. He's been off for 5 days.
And not going to play game four.
And you're not going to. And he's not going to play in game four either. There's no way that guy can't get out there and play. I'm not saying he's going to be anywhere close to 100%, but he should most athletes are out there playing, I would think, and he's not because that's how they go about things.
So they always talk about sprained ankles almost being worse than a broken ankle because you just can't – it just doesn't feel right. And it depends on if you're talking about shooting up with as much pain meds as possible.
I am.
But
tape it and shoot it and let's go.
Long term, I think guys are thinking long term.
You know, people credit Pop as being the coach who, you know, first gave his players rest. He would just have games where he'd say, "Hey, you know, we're going to go to, New York, play the Knicks and the Nets back to back nights. We're not bringing our two best players. We're not bringing our three best players." But if you remember, right here in Chicago, Phil Jackson used to find ways right before the playoffs would start for guys to come up with, you know, plantar fasciitis or something like that. Guys would have injuries, and then suddenly, you know, Jed Bushler would be on the floor.
Right, and that's fine.
Which I was all for.
But, like, I can remember Bulls Atlanta in the playoffs, and Mike sprains his ankle.
Oh.
And then he's back on the court in the fourth quarter, hitting ridiculous shots and screaming, "Not tonight, not tonight."
Not everybody's like that. Come on now, Carve.
I get it. But you're Kawhi Leonard, like... That is a career, that is a competitive dude, one of the best players in the NBA.
So it's saying that it's hurting him that bad that he can't get out there.
I guess
it has to be because when you look at him, you know what kind of guy he is. He's no nonsense. He gets out there, he balls. It's got to be hurting him.
But he walked off the court when he went to the locker room.
That's fine. I mean, same thing happened to me when I was in Toronto in training camp in the CFL. Unbelievable day. Dude comes, falls on my ankle. The way that he fell after I shoved him off, he fell down. His rib broke on my foot with my toe planting down and fell. And next thing you know, I got back to the apartment and my ankle was swelled up. I walked off. I was fine. I finished practice.
I mean, I don't know what's going on in his ankle. Maybe it's to that point.
It's got to be bad.
Part of me does think though that Pop is so ticked about Zaza Pachulia and the way that the whole thing went down. He's like, you know what? That's fine.
We're going to show the league.
We're going to show the league. Hey, I'm not putting. We'll tank a playoff series so my guy's healthy next year. I mean, you're in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, you're at home. The series ain't over. Maybe he thinks that Pachulia should have been suspended a game. I don't know. It's odd to me.
Harry, how did you do that radio show that one time when you hurt your ankle?
You know, it wasn't about me. It was just about the theme. We need to, you know, we needed to get the show done, and you know, you don't have time to think. There'll be plenty of time for taking care of your ankle after the show. There'll be plenty of time in between shots to have shots. Gotta do the show, man.
It's the toughness you bring to the table here,
right? You know, hockey players.
Yeah.
I love hockey players. John Tavares is the center and the captain of the New York Islanders. He's their best player by far. And after he was done playing in the playoffs, we found out that he had to have, like, hand surgery. Guys are playing with, and it happened, it does happen in every sport, but guys will play. You know, hockey is like the, you know, we're going to give the least information possible. Guy could get shot in the neck three times, and they'll just say upper body injury. John Tavares was playing with, you know, like half a hand. And he didn't want to say anything because he didn't want to give the other team, you know, the knowledge. Because otherwise they'd be, you know, swatting his hand with their stick every chance they had. So you have to admire guys to play hurt, and a lot of them don't play it. You know, in Kawhi's case, there were 25 cameras on him, you know, when he got hurt. Everybody saw it. Maybe Kawhi's told coach he wants to play, and coach said, no, you're not playing.
I think that's possible, although you would think at the end of the day it would be up to the player, but maybe they are protecting the player from himself. I don't know. I just think it's a bad look for the NBA. I hate that that's going on.
It goes back to every person is different in how they handle pain. We talked about MJ and how great he was to be able to block it all out.
And sickness.
Let's go back to 2010 with Jay Cutler, right? Everybody talking about why he couldn't do it. He couldn't. Maybe it just wasn't for him and somebody else. You look at a guy like Phillip Rivers. I mean, that guy plays with everything. It's just everybody's so different.
That guy without receivers, he'll go out and throw three touchdown passes.
That's funny. Look,
the Bears have a very strong PR staff, but Cutler could have been helped a lot if they had announced during the 2011 championship game against Green Bay that Jay Cutler was told he is not coming back in this game. That could have helped him a lot. You wouldn't have, like, Maurice Jones-Drew texting what a wuss he is if he had seen, oh, the team isn't letting him come back out. I'm not a Jay Cutler defender at all. I'd have to be a defensive back or a safety to do that, or an out-of-shape linebacker. But they could have helped Jay a lot by just saying, hey, the dude has been medically ruled out of the second half.
It always comes back to Jay Cutler. I love it.
Yeah, how do we get there? 312-981-7200. You brought Mike. You went to Jay. Let's get Mike, not Mike Jordan, but Mike in his somewhere, wants to talk about the NBA hurting from super teams. What's up, Mike? Welcome to WGN. Thanks for talking hoops. It warms my heart.
Hey, guys. I love your show every week. But listen, you know what? I used to be a huge NBA fan. I obviously grew up in Chicago, a Jordan fan, the Bulls, the whole thing. Even before Jordan, I was as a kid, I, you know, watched the Reggie Theus and all of that. Here's the thing. I'm so sick of the NBA right now. I don't want to watch a third year in a row of Cleveland and Golden State, these super teams that have been put together even previously before that with Miami. I'm just tired of it. The NBA bores me now, and I hate to say that.
Well, hold on. Let's talk this out, Mike, because I feel you the rest of the playoffs, but I am looking forward to the finals.
Yes, so do I. I want to see the finals.
Why not?
I'm not.
It's going to be phenomenal, Mike.
I mean, it's also a different NBA. They don't play defense anymore. I'm just tired of it. Bored of it.
Okay. Well, let's examine this just a little further here, Mike. The Lakers and the Celtics were in the finals every single year in the 80s for the most part.
That was so great.
It was
Magic versus Larry.
And by the way, the Lakers scored a ton of points. They weren't exactly a great defensive team. What did you enjoy it then?
You know what? You got me there, but it was just a different NBA. Different NBA.
How was it different to you, Mike?
I don't. You know what? You just saw more competitiveness, more defense. There was just, I don't know. More stars, I guess. More stars. There was more stars in the NBA if you're talking about that era.
All right, we got how many Hall of Famers we got on this Warriors team?
Like I said, it's a different NBA.
Okay.
Some of them are going in by default.
By default? Mike.
They're going, Mike.
Come on,
by
Mike.
Default.
Mike, are you watching, even though the Blackhawks are out of it, are you watching any of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
No, but what does it say about who knocked out the Hawks? I'm sorry,
Nashville.
I mean, hey, you know what? At least they're not. I can say the Blackhawks got knocked out by the best. What can you say?
Well, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, want to go there. But my point is that these NHL playoff games are extremely exciting. As we speak, the Penguins are blowing out Ottawa today. But these games, one after the next, they're so exciting. There's been like 25 games in this playoff year alone that have gone to overtime. That is exciting. And that, well, wait, so I can watch an NHL game go to overtime, or I can watch a team in the NBA win by 33 points, and they're playing the trainer at the four and the ball boy at the five.
It's true.
It's true. I got you. All right, so I'm with you. I'm with you on the hockey thing. I'd rather go watch that.
You're no, right? Mike, don't leave the NBA. Come back to me. Come back over. It's where your true heart is, Mike. I can feel you.
You guys are awesome. Thanks.
See you, pal.
I got no issue with it. I mean, it's just
with what
I understand the times now and how everybody's friends in the NBA. And that's what, you know what changed is all of the AAU and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And these guys became friends from when they were in high school. And so now they want to go hang out and be on the same team as their guys.
Yeah, but okay, go back to last year in the finals. I mean, Draymond Green got suspended for a game because he was brawling with LeBron James. Those two hate each other. I mean, there's real hate there.
I know, and I'm cool with seeing that, I mean, Golden State and Cleveland in the final.
You know, I love Tom Izzo so much. He's the greatest college coach, and I love guys
greatest college coach.
Yeah, I know. Throw out the Coach K numbers. Go ahead.
Throw out the Coach Izzo, K numbers.
Yeah, okay. Izzo doesn't have the guys lining up to come to him. He gets a lot of recruits, but, I mean, KU out-recruits Izzo.
Oh, true.
Okay, Duke really out-recruits him.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo puts guys in the league that are just, you know, spectacular. You know, spectacular players. Nobody thought Draymond Green would be as good as he is.
No one thought that Denzel Valentine would be as good as he is.
Oh, you got to go there, huh?
Wow,
that was painful.
I'm sorry.
Draymond's got to stop. I mean, Draymond's got to cut the crap out.
He can't.
He's like three different guys in the groin.
I'm pro Draymond stirring up here in the finals.
Keep stirring it up because I want the finals to be. I want them to be good.
Finals are going to be great. Hey, reminder to get huge savings during the Memorial Day sales event at American Sale. It's right now you can get up to 50% off on pools, patio sets, and more. Pay no interest for 5 years. Pool packages starting as low as $47 a month. Patio sets as low as $5.99. Choose from hundreds of sets on display and in stock. Hurry, the sale event ends June the 4th. You can see store for details. 9 Chicagoland locations or visit AmericanSale.com. American Sale, bring the fun home.
I wish you no swing sets.
I didn't. Well, it's not. I'm sure they get swing.
That's not on there.
The Cavaliers tonight are 14.5-point favorites over the Celtics.
Might not be enough. No Isaiah Thomas, might not be enough. Let's. We can talk more NBA coming back here. I got a ton on the docket here, including a tribute to Steve Kerr, who has been battling. But he's been contributing all at the same time. All right, this is 720 WGN. It's The Beat with you till 6 o'clock today. He's Harry Tynowitz. He's Jared Payton. I'm Mark Harmon. People texting in. Is it true that Pop is not allowing Kawhi to play? Is that an official statement?
No.
I think that's the case.
I mean,
it's the case.
I think it's the case, too, but is that official?
No, it's not official.
All right.
I thought that was you bringing that up.
I'm getting yelled at on the text. Like, hey, Carmen, Pop's not letting him play. It's not his choice. Get your info right, buddy.
I love it. I love the text line.
Coming right at me. All right. You know who, little note for you, Harry. I pulled
yes.
this. Who is the all-time leading scorer for the Golden State Warriors in the postseason?
The first name that comes to mind is Rick Barry.
It was.
Oh, and now Steph has passed him?
Steph passed him last night.
It's pretty impressive.
Yep, 1,795 points now for Steph, ahead of Rick Barry's 1,776.
Steph Curry is a great player. Rick Barry, and this hurt because Mother's Day of 1975... Rick Barry took out the Bulls when the Bulls had Chet Walker and Jerry Sloan, Storm and Norman Van Leer and Bob Butterby and Love and Borwinkle, and Rick Barry took him out. This guy, you know, college he went to, of course.
Rick Barry?
Yeah, Rick Barry. He went to the U. You're damn straight he went to the U. This guy could hit from anywhere on the floor, but he would shoot his free throws underhand.
That was his deal.
Grandma free throws.
90%.
That's how I shoot mine.
312-981-7200. George wants to rip on the NBA. It's against my religion to allow this, but let's go. That's what we do here, George. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, first thing I like to say is it's equivalent to basketball, what the WWE is to wrestling. It's not basketball as it should be. And furthermore, the thing that screws it all up is the officiating. The officiating sucks. We put it in the vernacular. Yeah, they call what they want to call when they want to call it. There's no rhyme or reason for it. No consistency. No anything else. And the hot shot stars always get the breaks.
Well, hold on. Let's talk this through a little bit here, George. Are you talking more about traveling or are you talking about fouls? What are we talking about?
I'm talking about the whole thing.
Okay.
You know, they call things whenever they want to call them. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. One time a guy goes down the floor, gets blasted. He's laying on the floor in agony. There's no call. Next time a guy goes by and he breathes on him, it's a foul. I see more phantom calls in the NBA than I see in a whole season of watching high school basketball.
George, were you at one time an NBA fan?
Yeah.
And you think the game is being officiated that much different now, so that makes you not a fan? Is that really what's going on?
No. That's what turned me off to it over the years. When I grew up as a kid, I liked the NBA, and then I realized how bad the officiating was, and the officiating got progressively worse.
I'm not blaming Danny Crawford for why I don't want to watch the Celtics and the Cavs tonight. I'm blaming the boredom factor.
There's a guy on.
I don't care what you say. When you watch it over the season, it's ridiculous. I go to a friend's house, they got a game on. The officiating is just ridiculous. I mean, I don't believe those guys. Do the officials pay to referee, or do they pay the officials to officiate? I don't know.
A lot of
because
money.
It seems like to me they ought to have to buy a ticket to be able to get on the floor. They're horrible.
George, are you a high school basketball coach?
No, I used to officiate.
Okay. Oh, you did used to officiate. There you go. Okay, I feel you. Appreciate your call, George.
Carm, let me ask you, Carm, because you're Mr. NBA.
Yep.
See, I don't think that the league is necessarily calling poorly the games, but I think there are specific players that get away with murder. Like, for example, the Beard, James Harden. That game against the Bulls, when Michael Carter Williams had the ball and Harden like fell on top of him and they called MCW for the foul, was terrible. Do you believe that there's guys in the league that just get every call?
It's always been that way. Superstars get preferential treatment.
Yeah.
You earn it over time.
Not Mike.
It's not, okay.
Come on.
So, listen, I don't think that's ideal, but I think it's reality. It doesn't ruin the game for me. Now, I do watch or have watched some videos recently where they are showing how much these guys are traveling. And it is alarming what they allow. And I'm not talking about some guy running in for a layup on the fast break and taking four steps. I'm talking about switching his own pivot feet seven different times, basically doing a dance step behind the three-point line. Steph Curry does it. Kawhi Leonard does it. And I'm watching this. I'm like, oh, my. You don't see it. It's so subtle. But these guys are paid to referee and see this stuff. And they're literally, if you go to @bballbreakdown on Twitter, it's unbelievable what they allow. I'm like, it shouldn't be this bad. But I don't, like, as far as the consistency on fouls in the lane, I mean, I think it's always been inconsistent. I think college basketball officiating is terrible.
I'll go with you on that one.
I mean, I think
college basketball, especially this past NCAA tournament.
It was awful.
It was awful.
However, college basketball, okay, I watch every Bulls game. Okay, mm-hmm. I love the Bulls. I watch every Bulls game. But college basketball, they're down by, I mean, if you had a college basketball game where a team was a 14-point favorite, the underdog could win. There's no way the Celtics can win tonight. No way, Jose.
Right. Well,
stranger things have happened, Harry.
Stranger things.
Not with the King. Not with LeBron, baby.
No,
it's not happening.
I'd give the points. All right, quick timeout. Anthony, the rest of you, I see you. We can talk to you after the 4 o'clock news, which we're going to get to on time because we're just that disciplined here on 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
509, hope you're having a great Sunday. 1 hour to go on the program. Brian Noonan coming up at 6. Cubs winner today, 13-6, as they beat the Brewers, split the series, plus a rainout that, of course, will be made up July the 6th, which very odd rainout yesterday, as we all know. Could have played that game. Didn't play that game. We're going to do a very important public service for the Chicago Cubs right now. We know that Theo Epstein is, for all and sakes, basically God, right? I mean, he deserves a statue. He's the best leader in the entire planet, as voted by Forbes and others. he doesn't really need our help, but we're going to offer it up anyway. Jed Hoyer, Joe Maddon, we got your back right here. White Sox, by the way, are leading the Mariners 8-0. The Chicago Cubs, by everyone's admission, Theo, Jed, Harry Tynowitz, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, are going to need to add pitching. Jake Arrieta most likely will not be here after the season. They're not going to pay him huge dollars. John Lackey is old. John Lester is getting old. Kyle Hendricks is a nice pitcher, but he's probably not the Kyle Hendricks of last year at the end of the day.
I don't want to interrupt. You're doing a great job of setting this up. I don't want to argue this now.
They just need pitching. They need pitching. And they need starting pitching. And starting pitching is expensive. So this conversation is out there. I would like to do an informal poll right now as to who you are willing to give up to get that pitching. Your options are Ian Happ is one of them, who's coming up and hitting gangbusters on base percentage of 450 right now. Your options are Javi Baez, who's the MVP in the NLCS last year, but is not perfect at the plate with the concept of the strike zone, but a phenomenal defender, can play all over the field, huge value. Your other options, I'll throw Eloy Jimenez in there. Huge power outfielder that is one of the top prospects in all of baseball. Do you want to give up on a guy like that, just like you gave up on Gleyber Torres? I'll allow that in the mix. Don't know if that gets you enough. I'll throw a couple others in there.
Who?
Kyle Schwarber is in the mix. I don't think the Cubs would do it. They love him. But people are going to ask about Kyle Schwarber. And this is not this. You're not Theo. This is you. Who would you give up to get that pitching that they need?
You've Addison Russell in there?
We could put Addison Russell in there. I think Addison Russell is a candidate because you could easily trade Russell and slide Javi to short.
You'd probably get the most for Russell.
You might get the most for Russell. We could do that. And, I mean, you could also throw as a component of all of this, you could throw Albert Almora Jr. in there as well, 22 years old. Looks like he's going to be quite a nice player, but you're not going to get as much for Albert Almora Jr. So if you're going to make the deal for pitching at the deadline to fortify this team to try and win a back-to-back World Series championship, which I think at least it feels a little bit more capable after today and after the sweeping of the Reds and all that, I mean, who are you giving up? Or are you just rolling with what you have right here and then going into the offseason and trying to, you know, I guess do it in free agency? But they're not, if they're going to do that, then they you know, you would think they would just keep Arrieta. They're going to try to get cost-controlled pitching that doesn't cost them a fortune. So anybody is welcome here. 312-981-7200. Let's start with you, Harry. Who are you giving up?
This is very hard.
It's so hard, man. It's like I don't like parting with shoes that I've had for like 10 years. How am I supposed to do that with guys that, you know, I feel like are part of my family? Goodness.
Man, this is very hard. If I had to pick one, and I'm glad you didn't put Wilson Contreras on this list because he's a catcher.
He could be on that list.
He can't be on that list.
He can't. He's a catcher. You won't find a catcher like that.
They have catchers in the minors, dude.
They have one very good catcher in the minors, but Wilson Contreras is lights out. I mean, he picks guys off. He's fast. Might be the fastest guy on the team. I would trade. I know it's hard to find left-handed power, but I would move Kyle Schwarber.
And the gauntlet has officially been dropped right there with Schwarb. You would move Schwarber.
I think I would move Schwarber because his defense and because you could get more for Elmore. I mean, more for him than Elmore.
I'm going to agree with you. I don't think they'll do it, but I like guys who can play all over the diamond. I like guys that can be a plus defender. However, when you talk about trading Kyle Schwarber, it is painful.
It's painful.
The guy, you don't win the World Series without Kyle Schwarber. You don't have a ball on the top of the Budweiser sign in right field the year before against the Cardinals. You do not have that hammer that can come in and win you games with one swing of the bat. I mean, that's a huge guy to move.
Yeah, but
if you get that stud pitcher back,
pitching is key.
What do you think, JP?
Well, you know, this is not just because both you guys are agreeing with it. It's just the fact I said it last week on Sports Feed that if you got to get the most, you need someone that's going to get you the most. And I look at what Kyle Schwarber means to this team and everything you just talked about, Carm, but I like guys too. I think long term, I'm thinking about long term as well. Like, he's a guy that's made for the American League, man. He, I mean, long term for him, he's got to be thinking about that, right?
Jerry, you bring up two wonderful points. A, you're going to get a ton for him, and B, he's really best suited to be a DH. He made a great catch on Friday, moving to his – some people didn't think it was great. Moving to his right and diving and robbing a Brewer of extra bases. He also made a nice catch, terrific catch against the Yankees in that 18-inning affair. Going over the wall.
Did you see the catch by Aaron Judge today?
Aaron Judge is great.
He's a monster.
I mean, that was a great catch.
Aaron Judge is great. Leads the majors in home runs.
And I'm a judge of good character, too. I got that from Harry.
I think, Kyle Schwarber, it's hard to find a left-handed power guy. But Ian Happ could be a left-handed power guy. He's a switch hitter, of course.
And he could play left, he could play center, he could play right.
He's a Joe Maddon guy.
He's a Joe Maddon type.
Second, third.
But Schwarbs is Theo's guy. And I don't see him going anywhere.
Text line 630 saying Baez and Schwarber in a heartbeat. 630, well, those are the two guys that he would pick. 630 is also saying, different 630, you don't trade your day-to-day players, everyday players for pitchers. You rent and buy them. They only play once every 5 days. Sir, it doesn't really work that way. Part of the way the Cubs constructed their team by not drafting pitching and not developing it the way they've developed everyday players was the plan that, hey, if we have all these hitters, we will be able to move them and bring in pitching. I mean, right. This was part of the plan. So they are anticipating doing that. And at some point, they are going to do that. And it's going to be painful. You're going to be super worried. Now, they might do it with all prospects that we haven't seen.
Well, you know, you just traded last year to get Aroldis Chapman. You traded your top prospect. So, I mean, if they trade, Jimenez, it's 2 years in a row they're trading their top prospect.
Yeah, but right. If it comes out that you win it helps you win a World Series, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, and Hugh, the Sunday night baseball game tonight is Texas and Detroit, and Hugh Darvish is pitching. Hugh Darvish is considered to be the best starting pitcher out there. However, he's one and done. If you get him, he's just like Chapman.
Yeah, and also when Hugh Darvish's name was thrown out there, it was because the Rangers were doing terrible.
Right, now they're a couple games over.
Right, now they're in second place in the West at 23-21, and before yesterday, they had won 10 in a row.
Right. Quintana, makes a ton of sense. The who might make more sense is Chris Archer from Tampa Bay. He's got even longer controllable contract. But if you get Quintana or Chris Archer, you control those contracts. If you get Hugh Darvish, he's one and done.
It'll be super interesting to see what they do at the deadline. I know we're jumping ahead of ourselves, and they had a nice win today, and I don't want to throw the cold water of players going elsewhere on top of a nice Cubs win. But I just, you got to be realistic about what's coming down the pipe here. And some big deal is going to happen. People are texting in Ben Zobrist. You're not going to get
anything. You're not going to get.
And they're not going to trade Jason Hayward.
No.
No.
You wouldn't be able to give Jason Hayward away, I wouldn't think, with his contract.
Boy, it's.
and he was back in the lineup today, had a hit. Walked twice, not a bad day for – actually, good day for Jason Hayward overall. Hitting .255, he's way better this year. But you couldn't – with his salary
– That defense, though.
And that D, too.
That arm. He's the man with the golden arm.
You just
– Addison Russell's an interesting name to me that you brought up, Harry.
95 ribs, though. He's got 95. He's got a 95 – now we're back to ribs.
He's got star aura all around him.
He's got a 95 RBI season under his belt. That's – you don't see that a lot with young guys, with shortstops.
He's hitting .215 right now with an on-base percentage of .282. I know it's early in the season.
There's four guys that are hitting ridiculously low for themselves. They're not going to, Addison Russell, Rizzo, Schwarber, and Baez. They're not going to all hit like that all year.
He's also had a sore shoulder. He had it last year. He's got it again this year.
You know who's going to spend the next 4 days in Wrigleyville?
Who's that?
Johnny Cueto. He'd look awfully good in a Cubby uniform.
He would. That's a huge name. I don't know if the Giants are ready to fold up the tent quite yet, but
they
very well may be, though. That's a good point.
Johnny Cueto is going to get moved, I think.
He's under contract for a bunch of years.
Yeah, it's a very controllable, team-friendly deal.
Is it really team friendly? It's like, didn't he get like 90 million?
But the years I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, right. You, I mean, you'd have him for a while. That's true.
Okay. Lackey probably will retire after this year.
I don't think he's retiring. I still think the Cubs will bring him back. That guy's going to pitch a while.
Okay. Well, I don't think he's back with the Cubs. I think Arrieta's not going to be back with the Cubs because someone will give him a guy like Fowler. God bless you if you can get more money. You have been great for the Cubs, Jake Arrieta. But I think Kyle Hendricks is better than you give him credit for. I think Kyle Hendricks is a fantastic pitcher, and Lester has been terrific. But you do need a starter. You need a starter now to go win back-to-back World Series. You need a starter for the future. So to me, Hugh Darvish is the last guy you trade for.
Yeah.
But it would be a lot more cost-effective to do that and then somehow piece it together. It's just great. Like, look, man, Schwarber goes down. No problem. We'll throw. I mean, last year Kyle Schwarber got hurt. Yeah. He played three games, and it didn't matter. They went to the World Series. That's how deep they are.
They're unbelievable.
So if you start moving pieces.
They're like the Miami backfield when JP played
at BU.
It's true.
It's very true.
So true.
Who was in that meeting room with you? Who was in that running back's room with you?
Everybody. Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore. All pros.
Huh.
It's kind of hard seeing the field.
What do you think Dexter Fowler's hitting right now?
He's hitting 212.
Harry's paying close attention. He's hitting 220. He's hitting 220. He's got 18 RBIs, which is near the top for the Cards. 27 is the most. He's got four triples, six home runs already for Dexter Fowler. And he's got four doubles, four triples, six home runs. He's slugging .447. Mm. Not bad.
He's not bad.
He's just not hitting anything. All right. Schwarber's the guy. It's consensus. Although, are you saying that too, JP?
Yes.
JP said it first.
Okay. We'll see. I don't think he's going anywhere, but that's what we would do. That's what this crew would do. We'd move the Schwarbs.
JP.
It hurts me.
It hurts me you have to leave. I know. We were going to talk all about the Bachelorette moving into... an area where they should have been 10 years ago. We were going to talk about, more about Carson's ribs, which we were talking about earlier.
We're going to talk about my night at Nora Jones last night and how uncomfortable it was immediately. It was unbelievable what happened last night. I'm going to tell the story coming back here. It was incredible, truly incredible, and something I've never experienced in my life.
Did you confuse your date again?
No, that was not it. 720 WGN. And after all's been said and done. Who said it best? Were you the one? So I went to Nora Jones last night, Harry. You were shockingly supportive. I thought you were going to dog me.
Oh, I love Nora Jones. That's a great night out. Chicago Theater's a wonderful venue.
Phenomenal venue, phenomenal show. Nora Jones is beautiful, both in voice and just watching her up there was great. So we get to the Chicago Theater last night, okay? Traffic was phenomenal coming out of Lindenhurst and RJ's Eatery. Thanks again for having us out yesterday. It was a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So we fly down. There's an opener. We left the show at 7. Doors were open at 7. Opener at 8. Nora's at 9. So we get there about 8:30.
Perfect.
Yeah, no problem whatsoever. I'm taking my time getting there at 8:30. So we walk in, and we're in one of those boxes at the Chicago Theater.
Oh, those are cool.
Right. There's four seats in the box. Now, mm-hmm. Every seat has a number to it. Well, the people that were in the box took the front two seats, which were actually ours. So, and it was an older couple, and they look at us like we're completely out of our mind. Like, where have you been? How come you're showing up right now? And I'm like, well, it's 8:26 and Nora's not going on till 9, and by my count we're actually sort of early. Not that I would have liked to have seen the opener, but we're certainly not late,
right?
And
you were at work till 7,
right? So, and then I explained that we were coming from a long way away and all this stuff. So the usher moves them into their seats, and so now we're sitting in the front, and they're like, can you move your seats together so we can see? Like, they were chairs. So now we've got like this awkward scene where we're sort of sitting together, and we've got these people behind us who want to talk to us and are irritated that they're not their seats. So finally, I just couldn't take it. I'm like, why don't we just give them the front seats and we'll sit back here? It's totally fine. I don't want them like looking at us. Like, it just felt awkward having them behind us. So I give up. I say, hey, would you guys like to sit up front?
Oh, that's no problem. Nice of you.
So, and the people in the like the boxes next to us, they were like, that's so nice, you guys. I'm like, it was nice, but I was doing it for my own reasons too. I
just selfish.
Yeah, I did not want these people like looking at us. But so as we move back, they continue to like engage in awkward conversation and like about where the seats were and where we should be and all this stuff. And it was just completely uncomfortable. So I just went into Carmen sneak seats mode. I'm like, why don't we just go sit somewhere else? So we left.
What?
Yeah, we bolted the box. And
those seats in the box, those are so cool.
Great seat. I was like, no, nah, let's just go sit up top. And so we walked up top, and it was basically packed. But we sat down in like a little bit, like there's like a little box all the way front left. And so right before the show starts, the Nora part, you know, security usher guy comes over to us. He's like, what's going on here? Because these seats are like saved for like workers there. Like it was just like some odd chairs. And I told him, like, look, we're dealing with a situation with a couple that's just making the whole thing awkward. So I didn't want to sit there. So we were looking for a better option. And they were like, no problem. You can hang.
Did you offer the two seats that you had?
I said, you can do whatever you want. Can I see your tickets? I'm like, yes, we're in box whatever down there. We can go sit. I mean, I just don't want to go back there. You want to put me all the way at the top, I'll sit at the top. But like that was just, I've never done that before in my life. But they made it so bad that we had to move. And then but normally I would like, in the whole get new seats, I would probably make something up when the usher guy comes. But I'm honest Carm these days, Harry.
Yeah.
So I just told him, like, look, we were dealing with a rough situation. Can we stay here?
You know where I thought your story was going? And that's something that you bit the bullet and you first offered them the front row. And
I gave them the seats.
And then you just said them to go sit in worse seats. I thought you were going to say that they were like the parents of the opener.
Oh, no.
And that they were offended that you weren't seeing their kid.
But they literally gave me the, where have you been? I'm like, what do you mean, where have we been? Like, A, it's none of your business where we've been. What are you talking about?
Boy, no one's ever had a worse time in a box in a theater than you, except for maybe Lincoln.
That was a rough... Yeah, well, we didn't die. We didn't get shot. That's true. And it all worked out. It was great. And Nora was phenomenal. And I love the Chicago Theater. And
Nora's like a romance instigator.
That too. I mean, you definitely want to get a little smooch action going on when you're listening to Nora.
That's the way everybody in your party felt?
I mean, it was a lot. There was a lot of kissing going on in that theater last night. Very, very.
You're not talking about the old couple that you left behind.
No, I don't know what they were doing. Maybe that's why they wanted us out of there. Maybe they were feeling frisky on a Saturday night. Maybe that was it. So, anyway, that was my Nora Jones experience. Made it on time. Ended up having a good time, but didn't sit in our seats. So, overall, it was a win, though. Thank you for allowing me to share, Harry.
That was great.
Appreciate you. 720 WGN. Happy birthday to Biggie. That's what we do here, 720 WGN. We recognize the greats. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynan. What's with you till 6? Brian Noonan coming up. It's time where we go into the soul for a second here, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Want to get into your emotions. Don't be afraid to share. Phone number is 312-981-7200. So, there was a baseball game up earlier this week in Milwaukee.
In Arizona. In San Diego. San Diego. It was on the road. It was in San Diego.
Okay, my bad.
I'm sorry.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Okay, my bad. I thought it was in Milwaukee.
Remember, some of us have a lot of time on our hands and don't sleep.
My fault. Brewers and the Padres were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Sogard plays for the Padres, for the Brewers.
Yes.
I got that right. Thank you.
Yes.
Eric Sogard's daughter was in attendance.
Little kid.
Probably 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. Sitting with her mom.
Sitting with her mom, watching, rooting for her dad, rooting for the Brewers. Well, the Padres won the game, and this was right after the game.
Sadie, it's okay. What? Sadie, just won. Why did the Padres win? They hit a home run at the very end, so they won. It's okay. We can win the next one. Daddy hit his home run, and then the Padres hit a home run. That's just baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
So if you haven't seen the video.
So great.
I mean, it makes... I could feel it in my stomach, I'll be honest. Like, she's so adorable, and she's rooting for her dad, and she's crying because she lost. Why did the Padres win? It's fantastic.
And I love her logic, her reasoning. Did Daddy hit a home run? Why didn't they both win?
Right. Why did the, because, you know, she's seeing the Padres celebrating, and her dad's walking off the field, apparently, you know, after having lost, and she's upset. So... it's just beautiful, like a kid having, there's no filter there, right? That's just the emotion of the moment.
It's so great. It's so great, and that she's so invested in her dad, in her family. It's wonderful. And the Padres apparently took care of her the next day. They treated her like she was, you know, the Queen of England.
That's awesome. So we would like to hear from you as the last time that you're willing to share that you were brought to tears by something perhaps that maybe you shouldn't, by society rules, be crying by. Like, she, it can be sports, but it doesn't have to be sports. Like, for me, I think it sort of was sports. I was my own answer to that. When the Northwestern Wildcats were announced at Welsh Ryan Arena, and the place went nuts, that moment, I had a little bit of a well up. It was so beautiful.
About the day that they found out they were going to the dance.
Yeah, yeah. We did the show out there that day, and I didn't think I was going to have any real, like, whatever. They were already in. I knew they were in, but it went on for a while. It was getting a little bit nerve wracking, and then just to see that place explode like that, I had like a little tear came in the eye. I was, you know, I've been rooting for Northwestern my whole life. I think that so that's mine, but. I wasn't quite at this beautiful little girl's level. That was awesome. You got one, Harry?
I do. I do. Cried. It was after a playoff game that the certain team that wears blue pinstripes. They were the night after Bartman. People remember Bartman as being the game that eliminated them. You know, that wasn't. The next night is the game that they got eliminated by. And it happened to fall on October 15th, which, as you know, Carmen, as you know, Dan, is my birthday. And I thought they were going to the World Series that year. I mean, I thought the Cubs were going to the World Series, and they lost. Like, when are they ever going to go? And it was just, I mean, Kerry Wood homered that game. They came from down 3-0. They took the lead, and they lost. And it was so quiet. It was the quietest I've ever heard Wrigley Field.
It was painful.
It was so quiet. It reminded me of when I did stand-up. And and I just couldn't help myself. And I just, I cried.
I can't believe, that's impressive. That you allowed yourself to go to the tear there is impressive. I was so angry and just... wanted to override what was happening.
There's another time when it's sort of embarrassing to cry, and that is when you're watching a chick flick. Okay, you ever cry at a chick flick?
Absolutely.
I have too. How do you mean that we get a guy and his wife standing outside the Allstate studio here on Michigan Avenue? How do you maintain any hope of cool when you
try to cover it up?
The girl
a little
you're
bit.
With is not sobbing, and you are.
Which movie are you referring to?
I'm referring to, they don't make fun of me. You probably cried at a chick flick too. Yeah, his wife's saying that he did. I'm referring to the one with Johnny Depp and the Kate Winslet.
Are you going into...
The one where he's...
You're not talking about Titanic.
No. I'm talking about the one where he writes Peter Pan, JMS Barry. What's that called?
Didn't see it. Can't help you.
I'll get it in 2 seconds for you. Finding Neverland.
Finding Neverland, okay.
Finding Neverland made me cry.
Did you cry in Titanic?
No, I didn't cry in Titanic. I cried how long Titanic
did
was.
Did you cry in Hoosiers?
I cried that they didn't show a full-on view of Kate Winslet when he was drawing her.
What about Hoosiers? When Dennis Hopper's jumping up and down in the...
That was great. Gene Hackman says, throw me out of here. Norman Dale. What a great... Heckman's so great.
What about The Natural and Roy Hobbs hits it into the night and he's rounding the bases for the final time?
You know when I cried? One of those sports movie I cried at? Brian's Song.
I never saw Brian's Song.
What?
I apologize.
Oh, man, you got to turn in your Bears card.
I've tried.
Forget about your man card. Turn your Bears card. Dan Long, executive producer supreme. Have you seen the original Brian song with James Conn and Billy Dee Williams?
Sure.
Sure. See how he answers that? Sure. Anybody that's a Bears fan has. Anybody that's a football fan has. What'd you think of the movie?
Thank you. It was slow and it was painful and you couldn't get through it.
I saw it when it came
probably,
out.
It helps to have been alive and rooting for the Bears while Brian Piccolo was playing and while Gale Sayers was playing. I'm sure it helps that. But just as a Chicago sports fan, it was an interesting watch.
Who was willing to admit at 312-981-7200 that they cried when the Cubs won the World Series?
Well, that good crying is different. Good crying you don't have to apologize for.
You don't have to. I don't think you have to apologize for either side.
I should apologize for crying at crying at Chick Flick. Crying when the Cubs lose.
Expression is always good, Harry. I want you expressing. Don't bottle it up. It's not a win. Get it out there. Even if you're embarrassed by it.
I mean, good crying. If something happens that's wonderful, I'll see a story on TV. They'll do a story in the news that makes me cry.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Just because, it's a heartwarming. Heartwarming. It's cool to cry for heartwarming.
I agree.
Heartwarming, I agree. No. Heartwarming, yes.
This video.
Play it again.
You want to play it one more time?
Yeah, let's play it again. This is the 3-year-old daughter of Eric Sogard, and she's upset. She's at the Padres game. Her dad plays for the Brewers. It's right after the Padres won on a home.
All right, we'll go one more time.
Daddy hit his home run, and then the Padres hit a home run. That's just baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
It's amazing getting indoctrinated in the world. Why?
See the irony there? She's crying for her Padre, and they lost to the Padres.
That's good, Harry. Very, mm-hmm. very good. Hey, Bonnie says here that you cried when the Cubs won the World Series.
I did, and it happened to be... I probably cried. Saw my first game when I was 9 with my grandpa. And anyway, it was my daughter's birthday. She would have been 44. She had passed away 6 weeks beforehand. And I'm not sick, don't want to bring you down about this. It just felt like a miracle that the rest of my life now, on her birthday, I'm going to have, because just talking about it right now, I have goosebumps all over about the whole series and how long we waited for it. You know, I'm 66 years old, and since I was 9 years old, I was devoted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean?
I got you, Bonnie.
And that little girl, you know, she's at that age where... Well, why is the sky blue? And right. But she's smart enough to know, but Daddy, you got a home run too. Why doesn't he? That was just adorable. You guys made my day by playing that.
It was Mark's idea. And Bonnie, you're a great Cubs fan. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm glad you have a wonderful way to remember your daughter.
Heidi was a Cubs fan too. So, but anyway, it's a good thing.
Thanks for sharing, Bonnie. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Good show.
We appreciate it.
You guys. Bye.
Yeah, love you back. We're up against the breaker. Quick.
If somebody asked her tomorrow when's the last time you cried, she's going to say, when I was listening to the beat and Jarrett left. It was just Carmen Harry.
Well, that could be too. Somebody texted, Mark never saw Brian's song. Now I'm crying from the 312. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Some 18 years ago, I left Dayton, Ohio with two very bad knees. And a dream to become a Major League Baseball player. I thank God that dream came true.
Michael Jack Schmidt. If that guy can weep, we all can.
And what makes him great, you know, Jim Kelly cried, Mike Schmidt cried, it's because of their passion. They are not less of a man, they're more of a man because they cried, because their passion took them to the next level.
You know, it was a great moment along those lines. I was watching the 30 for 30 with the Pacers and the Knicks in the middle of the 90s with Reggie Miller.
Yeah, with Spike Lee and the...
And Reggie Miller and all that taunting. And Reggie coming up enormous in Game 5 and hitting shot after shot. He scored 25 in the fourth quarter, and he's taunting Spike, and it's in the papers. You know, Knicks were spiked and all that type of stuff. And then they go back to Indiana. John Starks plays huge. They win in Indy, and it was some really uncomfortable images around Spike in Indiana, and it was aggressive. And so then the Knicks come back and win Game 7. They go in the locker room after the game, and they show Reggie, and he's talking to the media, and he is bawling. And I just loved it because, like, look at this guy who put every ounce of what he had into something, and it didn't come out the way he wanted it to, and he was hurt, so he was crying. I thought it was beautiful. Like, here's a guy, like, all the bravado that you see.
Oh, right.
All of it, which was beautiful, too, by the way. If Spike's taunting and Reggie wants to, you know, get motivated by that and stare him down, that, to me, is completely fine. And there he was. It was just a ton of pain because he put so much into it.
Reggie Miller was such a great player, and the Indiana Pacers fans booed his selection at the draft. They wanted Damon Bailey.
No, they wanted Steve Alford.
Steve Alford?
Yeah.
I knew it was an Indiana guy.
Yeah.
It just, Reggie Miller was great. But you know what? When your sister, there's a guy that was like an all-star in the NBA whose sister could beat him one-on-one.
That's unbelievable, right? That was a hilarious part of it.
Speaking of basketball, I met a good friend of yours, Coach Ryan Marks of St. Francis.
That's my guy. Hashtag Rhino Ball.
Yeah, hashtag Rhino Ball. I had never met him, and I got to meet him, and what a cool dude. And we were talking about, like, recruiting and coaching, and, you know, I mean, he was funny. He was, you know, we were, like, talking about Rick Majerus, and I was talking about, like, you know, I could never be a coach because, you know, I'm so out of shape. He's like, oh, I'm more out of shape than you are. And he was telling me a great story about when he coached a small school in Vermont.
Southern Vermont College. He was also the baseball coach.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He needed a logo, so he, like, took the old Nuggets logo. And he like, just added, like, something that made them West Virginia or Vermont-y. And that got approved. But really liked the guy, and he was going to pick up a recruit. And if I were a recruit deciding where to go, I'd go play for Coach Ryan Marks at St. Francis.
Yeah, out in Joliet. Rhino Ball, he was an assistant coach at Northern Illinois the last time they went to the tournament, which was under Brian Hamill back in 96, I want to say. And then he went, Hamill left, so he was out, and then he got a head coaching job in D3, and then he got a head coaching job in D2 down in Austin, Texas, which is where my play-by-play career got a little bit of a boost because Ryan got me the gig.
Yeah.
And then he went to D1 Texas Pan American and got them to 500, one of the worst schools in all of D1. And then there was a different AD who didn't hire him, so he got bonged out, and he ended up is at St. Francis, which is a huge asset for St. Francis. Ryan's a great coach.
Great coach. You know, I'm lucky enough to be good friends of John Halsek, head coach at Loyola Academy in Wilmette, best high school football coach in the world. And, you know, he knew he was going to have to step it up to be a head football coach, but, like, he had no idea of the other stuff that goes on. You know, a lot of the kids need the coach, like, almost as a father figure.
No doubt.
And so I was talking to Coach Ryan Marks about that, and I'm a big fan now of St. Francis. Go Fighting Saints.
Maybe we'll go to a game next year, Harry. We're in, right?
He said the whole team would be upset because they lost a game in overtime, and they'd be on the bus, and you'd be playing horse against some guy. They'd have to wait for you to finish your horse game.
That might be true. Those things were important. I had to get a couple shots up before we got out of there. It's a lot of fun. All right, final timeout. Brian Noonan's coming up, 720 WGN.